Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Hey, Reasonable Doubt fans. We recorded our Saturday episode early in the week this week, and because some of the stuff we talked about may be defunct by Saturday, we're going to go a little bit out of order, so you have your full best hour in the universe today on Thursday, and on Saturday, we'll have a great Beyond a Reasonable Doubt for you. Thanks for listening.
Corolla Drinks fans, 818 Rye Whiskey is available now at CorollaDrinks.com. 818 is a whiskey from Adam's backyard, not the gated communities in the same area code. It's aged 3 years in new American oak and couples a malty sweetness with a complex rye finish. Adam and the team made this whiskey for fans of the show. They made this whiskey for the regulars. Get your bottle of 818 Rye at CorollaDrinks.com. Hurry, we will sell out.
Well, in this show, you guys, we take a deep dive into the whole Cuomo situation, and we talk to, just want to make sure I have her credits right, but Karen Friedman Agnifilo, and she's one of Mark's associates, and she served as the number two executive for Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr., and has a lot to say about this case and some very interesting stuff that you guys have never thought of, and I haven't, and maybe Mark either. So definitely want to listen to that, and then lots of laughs with Mark, as per usual.
And also, I'd just like to remind listeners, if you'd like to watch this episode, you can go to youtube.com/reasonable doubt podcast, and there is reason to watch this particular one. Adam has a few light bulb moments.
Also, and then there's BetterHelp. Depressed, relationships, struggles, difficulty sleeping or meeting goals. BetterHelp online professional counselors who the folks who will listen and folks who will help. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours. Easy and free to change counselors if needed. Not a crisis line or self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. Log in anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, schedule weekly video or phone sessions, no uncomfortable waiting room, broad range of expertise, which may not be available in many states. So many people are using BetterHelp. They're actually recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. It's BetterHelp, right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. Our podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/ReasonableDoubt. Visit BetterHelp.com/ReasonableDoubt and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. A choice, but get on. Mandate, get on. Welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Mark Garagus over there. See, Gary, you jinxed it. We're attempting.
Gary
threw his glasses.
Gary is so pissed. What happened, Gary?
If he was wearing a cowboy hat, he would have thrown it on the ground. So we're trying to hook up with Karen Friedman Agnifilo, who's one of. Yeah, all right. Just put on pause. We're trying to hook up with her, who's at works for Garagus and Garagus. After a three-decade career in criminal justice and serve as number two executive for the Manhattan District Attorney, Cyrus Vance Jr. And we thought it would be a good time to talk to her about this whole Cuomo situation.
Do you know what made me think of Karen, besides the fact I think about Karen every day? But what made me think about it is I got a one of those breaking news alerts. I'm on for the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And in the breaking news alerts, it talked about that Cy Vance, who's the Manhattan DA, and then the Albany County DA, I think, also have opened up criminal investigations on Andrew Cuomo. And then quoted throughout the article is none other than Karen Agnifilo, who, by the way, Karen, should I mention, because this doesn't drop till Saturday and hopefully they're out of custody at that point, that your husband and my daughter are overseas and she tells me when I called her right now that her husband and my daughter, who work together, are overseas visiting a client. And Karen opened up our conversation when I hooked her up with Gary right now by telling me Interpol just stopped them and sent them back to the hotel. Basically, they were in custody. I said, you wait until I start to do RD to tell me that my daughter's in custody in a foreign frickin' country with your husband, and you think that's a good way to break the ice on this?
Well, Karen, you're uniquely qualified to weigh into both these subjects. Also, when you travel with nothing but Krugerrands to a foreign country to see a client who may be in some hot water with the government, Interpol will flag you. Sorry, Karen. Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Nice to meet you, too.
Karen, since you've assured me that Tenney and your Mark are okay, I'm going to move right into Andrew Cuomo. I have to admit, and I had said this yesterday with Gary, I am taken aback by the Attorney General in New York State, Letitia James, and this report. In this sense, all indications I had was that he was out of the woods, and I have to believe that his lawyer thought that. Otherwise, why would the lawyer let him sit there and be interviewed and grilled by two ex-AUSAs from the Southern District, especially one who was the acting head of the Southern District recently. And they released a report, for those of you who aren't following it, who basically found Andrew Cuomo was not credible. Karen, you, unlike me, read the report from backwards and forwards, and you read his rebuttal, right?
I did.
And did I mischaracterize it?
Not at all. It wasn't just a fact finding. They went far further. And as you said, and you pointed out, they actually found the victims here credible. And they also found that the governor was not credible. And I found that stunning that they went so far as to make those findings.
Well, here's a layman's question. If he wasn't the governor, because for me, a lot of the stuff, you know, he dragged his finger along her spine in the elevator and said, "Hey, you," which I'm sure Mark has done to strangers.
Hey, by the way, though, they find
many times
they find that credible because she's a state trooper. The same people who do not find, you know, police credible on any other issue.
Right.
But, okay, I won't go there.
All right. But if this man isn't the governor of, you know, one of the biggest, most important states in the union, if this is just a guy who works at a muffler shop, is that a criminal? Are we starting? That doesn't feel, those kinds of acts, many of the things that were discussed don't feel criminal, but that's not, but now it's the governor doing it, and there's a serious position with power and all many other things that can be read into it.
So the report stayed away from determining whether or not anything was actually criminal. And really what they did was they talked about it from more of a civil perspective. And the civil perspective is what we commonly call sexual harassment. In New York, it's under the New York human rights law. And federally, it's Title VII. And it's a sort of a civil standard. It's different than a criminal standard, which is beyond a reasonable doubt, which is kind of what the standard of proof is in a criminal case. It's civil. It's the preponderance of the evidence. And so the report was very much a civil report, kind of spelling out what they found and what they saw. But when you read the facts, if you're somebody who has experience reading the facts and making determinations about whether the facts make out a crime, that's where you start to have people opine whether or not some of this is criminal or could rise to the level of criminal. And there's a few factors that you have to think about. And I read the details and read the facts here. I would say in 8 of the 11 instances, or I should say complainants or victims, in 8 of the in 8 of their cases, there's arguably criminal conduct, and they are all misdemeanors. I don't see anything that rises to the level of a felony, and a felony is a higher crime than a misdemeanor. Misdemeanors are typically punished for up to a year in jail.
But you know what? In your New York Times interview, you mentioned something that you and I were texting about yesterday. I called it being hoisted on your own petard. The arguably out of those instances that are at least, you know, somebody is going to make a decision on criminal, the statute of limitations might have run except for.
So in a misdemeanor, a statute of limitations is typically either 2 years or 1 year, depending if it's class A misdemeanor or B misdemeanor. But the statute of limitations is the time within which a charge has to be brought. So normally if today is whatever today is, August 4th or 5th, you look back 2 years to say August 4th, 2019. However, during the pandemic, this governor, like many other governors, he exercised his emergency powers and he basically pressed pause
on the statute of limitations.
Oh.
This is like, I mean, talk about, look, I don't wish ill on anyone except the abuse of emergency powers during this pandemic. How ironic. Or is it for those of us who say, oh, my God, Karen, am I wrong, that he could end up getting filed on criminally even though the statute would have run but for him exercising his emergency powers and pressing pause on the statute of limitations?
And he pressed pause for more than a year. The first executive order went into effect in March of 2020, and it wasn't lifted or rescinded until May 6th of 2021. So that entire period has to be subtracted and for the look back to see if there's criminal charges that can be brought.
I don't know exactly how it works out, but like if Ron DeSantis in Florida did this, he would have escaped probably the timeline, right?
Exactly. And boy, I wish, Gary, did you have the video on Adam's face when the light bulb went off the irony of the emergency order?
I love that.
Yeah, the poetic justice, I call it the hoisting on your own petard of the abuse of the emergency powers in this particular case. And you know, the other thing about this is, you know, when people are exercising their discretion. And, you know, he's taken the position, the governor has, of kind of, I'm going to weather this storm. And now they've revealed some of the stuff. Chris Cuomo from CNN, his brother, was involved in the emails. They had the redacted emails in there. Cuomo's on there. And I saw a quote today by one of the lawyers for one of the complainants where she said she was now, based on this report, going to take a civil cause of action against the governor, not for the original assault, which was probably barred because it was too long ago, but for the actions he took to try to denigrate her after the fact.
That was the first accuser, and basically that lawyer is making an argument that he was setting an example so that no one else would come forward, and that his retaliation against her has breached her civil rights.
Well, guess who else may be in the crosshairs of that civil lawsuit? His brother, who's on the email as well, basically exhorting him to go tough, go strong, you know, basically, ironically enough, be Trumpian about it.
You know, we may be delighted by this whole statute of limitations and governmental overreach and executive orders and all that stuff, but you know who's got to be over the moon right now is Giuliani.
Oh, my God.
He's got to be laughing his ass off, right?
Yeah. Rudy is. Well, you know, he's also got his son running for governor there. And, you know, it's the lieutenant governor. What is her name, Karen?
Kathy Hochul,
went out of her way yesterday. In fact, probably the only Democrat that I can think of great note in the great state of New York who didn't come out because she's in the line of succession. If he resigns or is impeached, she becomes the governor. So she didn't call for his impeachment. But Joe Biden sure did in that press conference. And Nancy Pelosi, I believe, has as well. And so at this point, I always talk about clients when they're facing criminal cases, do you have a constituency? OJ had a constituency. Scott Peterson, other than adulterous golfers, didn't have a constituency. So there, if you don't have a constituency, you can get eaten up by the storm here. And I don't know how, I know that it's not, I mean, I hate to prognosticate because I don't really know him, but I don't see him going willingly. Karen smiles.
It's so far he hasn't given any indication that he would go willingly. And when you look at his, when you watch his sort of video montage that he put together, when he was sort of saying, yes, but I grew up in a different time and I learned this from my mother and my father, and here's me kissing Joe Biden and here's me kissing this person and that person. He really doesn't appreciate the gravity of what he did or what his conduct is. And he doesn't realize that there's sort of three things in this report. There's this pattern of sexual harassment and sexual assault. There's the retaliation that you talk about, but they also talked about the culture of bullying and toxicity in the executive chamber, where and he sort of mentions it in his rebuttal, where he says, you know, it was a tough place and we're not a 9-to-5 job and it's life and death is on the line and it's a tough place. And you know, if a woman was a boss, they get criticized for being tough. But if it was a man. And I just found that rebuttal to be kind of gaslighting of the experiences of the women who had the courage to come forward. I mean, I'm somebody who worked for Cy Vance and Robert Morgenthau. And those are two strong, powerful elected male officials. That was not a 9-to-5 job. I was a prosecutor for 3 decades. Talk about life and death all the time. There was never any bullying. There was never any criticizing or demeaning. I mean, it was a very sort of high pressure environment, but not in a toxic work environment in the way that it was described in this report. And I just think the way he makes excuses for his behavior and both with this woman, but also in his office, was really, really sort of gaslighting of the people who had the courage to come forward. It's not easy to come forward against the governor of New York State. I mean, he's arguably the most powerful person in New York. And to have the courage to come forward when people will say things like, oh, come on, he was just rubbing his finger down his back. Is that really something? He just kissed me on the lips. Maybe it was an accident. You start to second guess yourself. But when you read it in the totality of the conduct and the words and the things that he did, these women knew exactly what was happening. And I applaud their courage for coming forward and taking on someone as powerful and as bullying as this governor who retaliates. I mean, it's so clear that that's what he does.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've never seen, maybe Al Franken, but I've never seen Democrats jump off the ship so quick. Although I was a little taken aback, I'm going to push back, Karen. They had an interview on MSNBC of one of the women, and I think it was the woman who was his assistant. And I saw it last night. I don't want to mischaracterize it, but I think it was either the executive or one of the first, she had said something, maybe Gary can find it, that she just knew in her heart of hearts he wanted to sleep with her. And that's a little tough. I mean, number one, that's never going to come in court. You're never going to get objection, speculation. It's going to be sustained, except it might come in on damages for the if you got to the liability. But I agree with you wholeheartedly on his response. His response, there was a bad Saturday Night Live skit quality to this montage. Did you see it? And also, it wasn't really authentic for him because that's not, anybody who knows him, and Adam and I have talked about, we really kind of liked his take charge attitude sometimes in his press conferences. That just didn't ring authentic to me.
Well, I have many questions. First off, I'm sure Mark would advise, and Karen as well, against their client's kind of approach, which is here's what really happened or here's a context for all this stuff, which I don't know if it's an admission of guilt, but it's a recognition that it happened. You know what I mean? So his whole thing was this never happened, and then he does that cobbled together, you know, right, Al-Qaeda video that essentially is him going, well, it kind of happened, but here's why it happened. Also, he's in a shitty position because he's of the party of all women need to be believed all the time about everything, and everyone can pull up 1,000 hours of tape of him saying when they're talking about someone on the other side of the aisle, you got to believe. And now he's in this position where you have to believe all women, but just not these 11. But here's a question, and I don't know how this works out in the court of law, but the accumulation, how much does that factor in? Because a lot of this stuff, I mean, I don't want to sound insensitive, but this sounds like a lot of an accumulation of a almost of a lifestyle or I guess it would be like how certain professional teams take on certain personalities. You
like
know,
the Raiders are bad boys, the
right.
Steelers are hard-headed.
Right. Yeah. This feels like not so much an indictment of him for this thing, this episode. You know, he got drunk and he pushed himself on this gal in the boathouse or whatever. But it seems like certainly in the court of public opinion, he's being hung out to dry because this is the atmosphere that he created. But how does the atmosphere work in court?
So I think it depends if you're talking civil versus criminal. And, you know, it's sort of different. But let's talk about it from a criminal perspective. And if you're talking, if you bring a charge against one individual, with one victim, I should say, and that goes to court, I think everything that goes on between the two of them comes in because it's all about context. When you're talking about sexual assault, context is everything. So sex abuse in the third degree, for example, which is one of the potential charges here, it has to be for the purpose of sexual gratification. So in order to prove that it's for the purpose of sexual gratification, you have to give context and the sort of surrounding circumstances. You know, if you accidentally brush up against somebody and touch them on a sexual or intimate part, that's not for the purpose of sexual gratification, obviously. But if you touch that same sexual or intimate part while you are communicating sexual or lewd or other types that I, you know, do you like an older man? Do you date older men? Or, you know, what, tell me about your sex life or, you know, whatever, all the other sort of strange things that he was saying to them and questions he was asking them. That's what you would use to make it sort of for the purpose of sexual gratification. So it really is context. And the other potential criminal charge in New York would be forcible touching. And again, that doesn't have to be for sexual gratification. That could be for, also to degrade someone or for no legitimate purpose. So again, to prove those elements of the crime, you would be permitted to bring in that other behavior for context. And then there's a discretionary portion of this.
All right. Just to be clear, if I'm in an elevator and I yawn and I backhand a booby, that may be nothing. But if a whole
Correct.
Bunch of other women said, I've traveled in elevators with him and he did the same thing to me, now we're getting somewhere, right?
Correct. Yep.
But how about, I guess I can never ask a woman again, why aren't you wearing a dress? Because apparently that got a lot of play last night. Did you know he apparently asked the trooper why you don't wear a dress, to which she in real time texted, I'm holding a gun. But
right.
Can't you, as somebody who's in law enforcement.
What about Annie Oakley?
Yeah. But Karen, can't you wear a gun when you're wearing a dress?
Now you're asking me to opine on things that I would say I'm not quite an expert on.
Have you seen? Have you seen? Because I have done countless prelims on the third floor of the criminal courts building in Los Angeles, and I've seen plenty of women who've worn guns while wearing a dress, and I don't understand why that one is linked to the other. I mean, I understand it's not, but by the way, this guy, they ought to have, somebody could do a book on Cuomo's bad opening lines. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, do you date older men? Dude, that's like, let me just tell you something. That's,
right? I don't know. Again, I don't know if this is piling on, but he's 0 for 11. I mean, it seems like he tried 11 times and never got to first base. Or maybe he skipped a second. I don't know. There was one thing.
I think the important thing to remember here is he had a workplace relationship with all of these women. And that's where the power dynamics come into place, the inappropriate comments come into place. I mean, it's one thing if you're out at a bar and you meet someone, you know, he's a single man and he's entitled to date people, et cetera. But it has to be consensual, and it has to be in a situation where you don't inherently have power over the individual that you are dealing with. And if you're the governor, that's a tricky position to be in because he's inherently powerful.
You know, what's so funny is how far we've come. Do you know how many, my mother, God rest her soul, was president of Lawyers Wives of Los Angeles. Can you imagine that organization actually existed? Lawyers Wives of Los Angeles. That was a real organization. And I would say out of the membership of Lawyers Wives, fully, Loretta, who still was my mom's best friend, would probably support this. I would say more than half were secretaries who worked for the lawyers in their law firm who got married and became long-standing wives of various lawyers / judges later on. Today, you just get sued.
We have that clip that Mark was speaking of. I also have this question. If I'm defending Cuomo, I think it was the AG or whoever made the was up doing the press conference yesterday.
Yeah, that was. It was the AG.
She's got designs on running for governor, too, I believe. So can we, if you're defending Cuomo, can you say, well, the person that was up there dropping all that stuff just wants him out so she can, you know, fill the void?
I think he was, to some degree, up until a couple of weeks ago, because obviously he had some advance warning to release that montage of him holding people's jowls. I think he did not expect this in the least. I think he thought this was his second choice. Didn't he, Karen, first choice was to have somebody else do the investigation, wasn't it?
He asked for an independent investigation, and that's what they did. This wasn't Tish James's office called for this, but she brought on two outside, very well-respected lawyers from very well-respected law firms to come in and conduct this independent investigation. And so I find it I don't understand how he could say and question this. He said he would cooperate with an independent investigation and he would accept the findings. I don't know anyone who can call into question. I've worked with June Kim. He is
I was referring to before. Was the acting head of SDNY, right?
He was. And no one would call into question his sort of credibility and independence. I mean, he's the real deal. He's a smart, respected lawyer, and they conducted themselves. I mean, they were very transparent in the report about how they did this and how they conducted themselves and what they looked at. I think I don't quite get just where they get that this is political.
But
from.
This is what I don't understand. I don't understand. I mean, certainly I have put clients, I've done it, and I've always thought it through unusual situations. In fact, Harlan Bronner, who's a lawyer in town, did it years ago. He actually put his client in front of the grand jury when the client was a target because he felt like that was the only way to stop the momentum. In this case, if you're going to make the argument that it's political in its retribution. Why do you sit for 11 hours with two people who, by all accounts, former U.S. attorneys who are going to grill the shit out of you? And he apparently either wasn't prepared or came off miserably is the only two alternatives I can think.
Well, should we play the should we play that one clip?
Clip,
27 seconds long.
Do you think he's gaslighting you?
Absolutely. He's trying to justify himself by making me out to be someone who can't tell the difference between sexual harassment and mentorship. He sexually harassed me. I am not confused.
At one point, he said that he was trying to help you work through a difficult time. Did that seem like that was his intention?
No. His intention was trying to sleep with me.
The optics of having your own side go after you, which we sort of touched on a little bit at the beginning, because, you know, we have a governor out here in California. His name is Gavin Newsom, and he just says, oh, this whole recall thing, that's just a bunch of Trump nut jobs, you know, and you just go
right, bunch of MAGA heads.
And this would be a much easier sell for him if he could somehow evoke Trump and say that's just a bunch of guys from Florida and MAGA hats. But when your own side is coming this hard after you, that seems like a tough row to hoe. I'll ask finally, Karen, predictions. Where do you think this thing is going? And might there be more people? You know, the way these things work is there's always a couple of guest appearances by folks we can't think of right now who come out from the college days, or, you know, others that resurface. Do you, you know, there's 11 now. Do you think there'll be 12?
Well, I think David Soares, who's the Albany County District Attorney's Office, and Albany is the capital of New York, where the governor's mansion is and the governor's main office is, although he has other offices around the state. I believe most of the conduct occurred in Albany, and David Soares has called for anyone who has information or was the victim of one of these to come forward, and he's opened up an investigation. So we'll see if more people come forward there. I mean, he's actively asked for that. And I know of two other offices that have also indicated that they are that they've also opened an investigation. So we'll see. We'll see if people come forward. It's a hard I've worked with a lot of sexual assault survivors, and it's very hard to come forward. It's very hard to have the courage to come forward, tell your story, to know that people are going to question your credibility, to know that they're going to say yes, but, you know, the gaslighting, as they said, what he came out and said, I didn't mean this, I was doing that. And you start to doubt yourself and question yourself. So we'll see if more people do have the courage to come forward, if there are any others. And hopefully at some point this will be behind us. It's really a difficult time for New York to be going through this.
Do you have predictions?
Do I have predictions? No, I don't.
Mark, predictions. Oh, if Mark doesn't have a prediction, I'll make him shit one out.
There's going to be a cavalcade of civil lawsuits. You can be sure of that. This report is a blueprint for civil lawyers to sue the governor. And when you start to sue the governor and you've got a blueprint with a report with a supposed independent investigation, you're going to have all kinds of people who are going to come out of the woodwork. There's a certain degree of irony, by the way, that this governor just extradited Harvey to us.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, it was this governor.
Right.
Yep.
Also, interestingly, in 2019, with great fanfare, this governor also significantly expanded the sexual harassment laws and expanded, strengthened the rights for victims and the protections for victims, and what was required, you know, in certain sexual harassment, you require patterns of conduct, and here you don't. You just could have one incident, and there's more against retaliation. So I just think, you know, he did a lot of press with that when he signed that. And I just think it's going to be interesting, because if Mark's prediction that there's going to be a cavalcade of civil lawsuits, it's going to be under the human rights law, the sexual harassment statute that he himself passed and strengthened with great fanfare.
Well, it's very rare that a man gets hoisted on two petards. But it sounds like he's a two-petard man.
Yeah, he's got the hybrid of criminal and civil coming his way, all because of his acts. So,
what will also be interesting is whether or not New York State engages in an impeachment proceeding. That will be an interesting thing to see if that happens, because I did a little research this morning and I could only find one other time in the history of New York. And it was a governor in, I think, 1913, where a governor was actually impeached. So it'll be very interesting to see if that actually occurs.
Yeah, your New York Constitution doesn't specify the grounds for impeachment the way the U.S. Constitution does. So it doesn't
say high crimes or misdemeanors or anything like that.
Exactly.
Well, Karen, thank you for your insights. We do appreciate you joining us, and hopefully we can come back as this thing unfolds and we learn more official particulars, and you can join us and give us your expertise.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Nice to meet you.
Thanks, Karen. Nice to meet you. Wow, she's a pro. Bye-bye, Karen. Let me hit a spot and then we'll finish into this a little bit. Morning Wire, critical race theory in your kids' classroom, policy changes under the current administration. You need to know what's happening from the news source you can trust. Most media outlets opt for shameless virtue signaling and state propaganda instead of truth. Our friends at Daily Wire are providing an alternative. Morning Wire, daily morning news podcast that gives you facts first. It's a bite-sized podcast. It's like 15 minutes long. It'll cover three or four major topics of the day, and they give it to you balanced from both sides. Daily Wire editor-in-chief John Bickley and co-host Georgia Howe bring you the latest in politics, sports, culture, and education with a heavy emphasis on truth. Episodes drop every weekday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Subscribe now to hear the trailer. If you like it, give it a 5-star review to help Daily Wire provide a source Americans can wake up and trust. It is Morning Wire. Wow, that was interesting. And man, it's crazy. He was the most celebrated man in America, 14 months ago. I mean,
both he and Newsom, when you think about it, were the bi-coastal. Cuomo was being bandied about as the potential attorney general appointment by Biden.
And
yesterday, Biden, there was a lot of talk that he didn't want to take the attorney general spot, that he preferred the governor of New York spot as a platform to run for president next election.
Also, they were giving him Emmys 6-7 months ago.
He got a $5 million book deal and an Emmy. What do you think this means for his brother Chris?
Look, his brother Chris, I'm going to make the prediction right now. Based on this report, one of these complainants or accusers' lawyers is going to sue Chris as well. Chris is going to be dragged into a civil lawsuit. I mean, I don't wish that upon anybody, but it's clear to me that based on the emails and based on the theory that they're going to go after Cuomo to get around the statute of limitations, that they're going to drag Chris into it.
What do you think about the optics for CNN just to literally not have him comment on the biggest story that's currently in the zeitgeist of the nation? I mean, it seems... obviously you can't weigh in with a lot of personal opinions, but you're a news source. You can just say this is happening.
I understand the sequestering. I mean, I've got brothers and I'm loyal to my brothers over most other things in the world. And I understand his desire, Chris's desire, to defend his brother and family first. And I get all that. But at a certain point, it's a problem. I mean, this, if you looked last night as I was flicking through the channels, the news channels, Fox was all over this, MSNBC all over this, CNN, no.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking COVID on CNN last night.
In a way, it makes it more egregious. I don't mean egregious, but I mean, it's sort of not talking about it makes even more conversation. First off, it's fodder. for Fox and everyone right of center to go, oh, look at his brother. They didn't even say anything about it. Now there's clips of Don Lemon and you handing it off to Don Lemon and Don Lemon doing it at the top of the show.
Well, there was for a couple of minutes. Was it Clay Aiken, Gary, who thought, tweeted something out where he said, really?
Clay Travis.
This
is a wildly different person.
Yeah. Thank you. I knew there was a Clay in there somewhere. What was the first tweet?
He basically said they were discussing the whole Cuomo thing, and he went on there and said, this is absolutely bonkers. They've got Jeffrey Toobin commenting on the sexual assault stuff for Cuomo.
Right.
And then he had to retract it because there's another guy who is like a Toobin doppelganger.
Yeah.
David
Chalian,
yeah.
The Armo.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I'll try to find you side by side. It's eerie.
My Jeffrey Toobin joke is once you get caught beating your meat on camera, I think we can start calling you Jeff at this point. Jeffrey's a little too regal for you beating your meat on a Zoom call.
I love Toobin. I love his books. I love his commentary, and I feel his pain.
So,
but can we talk about Newsom for a second?
Yes.
Have you ever seen, he must be sitting in a bunker somewhere like this going, fucking Delta variant.
Right.
Because he's got, we're about 5 weeks out
from
the recall.
Wow, the Armo Toobin.
Yeah. Look at that. The Armo Toobin is right?
Yeah. Now, they look the same. Obviously, the copious amounts of cologne that the Armo guy puts on would be a giveaway if you saw him in person. So that's how you could tell. But if it's just a picture and you can't smell all the axe, then you're right.
Did you hear that, Jake? Jake's a big user of axe.
Well, sure, he's Armo.
He's Armo. So there's – getting back to this, Newsom is sitting there. These polls are – it's like every 4 days. He's gone from 10 points. He's got a 10-point – he's buying every voter. I'm gonna pay your back rent. I'm going to pay your future rent. I'm going to write you a check. You don't ever have to work. I'm going to pay until September. And, it's always September.
Right.
And then it's gone from 10 points, and then it went to 7 points. Then it went to 4 points, which I think was 1 point outside the margin of error. Today, mm-hmm. Gary, didn't we see something? It was a dead heat?
Dead heat.
He's in a dead heat. Larry Elder has now broken 20%.
I love Larry Elder. Larry Elder's a friend of mine. He's a great talk show host, and he is a machine gun of information and stats. Like he does not mince words, and he brings it. I mean, he's a Gatling gun.
I'm going to tell you exactly. I'm going to make a little prognostication here in real time. I could be wrong if circumstances change, but as of right now, LA County is going to determine this election.
Mm-hmm.
And Newsom has kind of stayed assiduously away from making any statewide mandates so far. Mm-hmm. You notice that. However, because he won't rescind the emergency order, that allows the counties to do things. So we've got Barbara Farrar today now indicating, at least the reports, that they're about to replicate New York in not only a mask mandate inside, but now you've got to check for vaccination to go inside.
Right.
And if that happens, I'm telling you right now, he's going to end up dropping another 5 to 10 points because California is unduly weighted to LA County when it comes to mm-hmm. these kinds of swing elections.
Well, let's talk about some of those implications because, when it comes to mandates or vax, passes, in New York, and I'll spit out a few of these stats and think of it, but the group that is least vaccinated is African American. So they're at
apparently what's been reported, it's less than 40%.
Yeah, they're like 33% vaccinated. So now we're talking 2/3 of African Americans with no vax card, and now you have the optics of telling the black man he can't come into the restaurant. how's that going to work?
Well, you know, part of the – there was a really well-done first-person essay about somebody who'd gone to – and I assume a person of color who'd gone to their relatives and was – you know, it's the usual case, somebody from California, I believe, who'd gone somewhere else in the U.S. and was surprised that California's mentality does not replicate itself, you know, kind of monolithically.
Yeah.
And
that's me. Mike August is from Louisiana. And I'm from California. So I always look at Mike and I go, no one's racist. And he goes, everyone's racist.
That's exactly. If, when I went that cross-country trip because of my surgery and I couldn't fly, it was eye-opening. You stop at truck stops. You hang out. You listen to people talk. You know me. I'll talk to anybody who will spend 15 minutes with me. And, you know, you realize very quickly you get in a bubble when you're in the L.A., New York. But this first-person essay was enlightening about the institutional distrust of the man, so to speak, when it comes to the vaccinations in the African American community. And I also noticed, Gary.
Well, as Joe Biden calls it, the Tuskegee Airmen experiment. Someone needs to work on that with him because you're mixing up two groups here.
But I also saw, and this is I'd love to hear your opinion on. For the first time in the polling on Newsom's recall, Hispanics are in support of the recall, which I think is when you start talking about if there's any kind of turnout, that's got to be frightening to him.
Well, you know, I think the Democrats have this thing, and I think the Republicans have a version of it, but the Democrats have this thing where it's like, well, we got all the Hispanics. They're always locked down for us. But Trump got a big uptick in Hispanic votes in the last election. That was like one of the surprises of the election, of how many Hispanics. And the thing about Hispanics is they're super traditional people. And in a way, conservative sort of by nature, you know, family, religious, hard work, like all that, you know, they're less woke than your average white guy or black guy is. And I don't know how woke the Asians are. They're just trying to figure out which way the wind is blowing so they don't get punched in Manhattan. But they're going to start drifting over toward Larry Elder if you keep and by the way, who's affected by closing down the restaurants and closing down, you know, all agriculture and all these industries?
I mean, everything
they work. It's not the fucking bloggers that are sitting home all day pulling a tube in. It's the guys who have to get up and go to fucking work. That's in this town. That's Hispanics. They have to go to work. All right. Let me talk about your airplane.
Hold on for a second. BetterHelp. You heard about BetterHelp?
Oh, yeah.
Depressed, relationship struggles, difficulty sleeping, can't stop laughing when Adam makes jokes, or meeting goals? BetterHelp. Online, professional counselors who listen and help. BetterHelp will assess your needs, match you a licensed professional therapist. They'll start communicating in under 48 hours. It's amazing. And easy and free to change counselors if needed. Not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's not somebody lecturing you. It's professional counseling done securely online. Log in anytime. Send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, schedule weekly video or phone sessions. No uncomfortable waiting room. Broad range of expertise, which may not be available in many areas, but then again, it might. So many people use BetterHelp. They're recruiting additional counselors. Hear that? In all 50 states. Right, Gary?
That's right. Our podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/ReasonableDoubt. Visit BetterHelp.com/ReasonableDoubt and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional.
So I don't know whether to talk about another case or your airplane
I
or Vegas.
I think we're going to talk about another case, and then you and I have a phone call, and I got to hard out because I got to talk to you on the phone in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Did you know that?
I do know that.
Okay. So we're going to tease. Well, we're not going to tease because this is going to drop Saturday, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you go to the firehouse in Malibu?
Yeah. I went to the firehouse in Malibu. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to tease that. I've got the news on that. Next week. Yeah.
The fire is a firehouse.
Yeah. Well, you know, as somebody who his office resides in a firehouse, there is a small network of firehouse gossip. And apparently you're the subject matter. Apparently it was an epic night.
Yeah. You can't believe everything. Firemen are notorious liars. I know it's
before they were the nicest, most genuine guys in the world. Now when that's firehouse gossip, they're lying.
They're epic shit talkers. You know those guys.
Salt of the earth three days ago. All of a sudden, you got hot goss. fucking liars.
I just have a question. What time did you arrive at the firehouse?
7.
Did you leave that same day, or was it in the wee hours of the next morning?
Hung for long enough. You know, those guys... They're fucking teetotalers because they never know when the phone's going to ring, you know? We had a good time.
I love it.
So did you have to do the drinking of 7 men?
Yeah.
I respectfully brought a flask and just nipped in the bathroom.
Hey, by the way, I saw a picture of you eating caviar. I mean, whoever thought? He sends me a picture. I was so focused on Adam eating caviar on the jet that it took me like a week or however long it's been to notice that he had a flask on the side.
I had a flask. I had caviar. I had guacamole. We had chips. I brought it all from here. We did get into your handle of Smirnoff, which is in the back there down low. It was glorious. I've been reliving it in my mind, for quite some time. I think I told you that Jimmy and Sal were already out in Vegas.
Right.
So I couldn't catch a ride with, us, but thank you. That was the greatest. First off, the trip was the greatest. The food was the greatest. You know, Jimmy was the greatest. Sal was the greatest. But going private both ways, my God. Especially what they don't – you go to Vegas, you drink the entire time you're there, and the last goddamn thing you want to do is go queue up at McCarran and the Southwest line where there's that mass of humanity and someone's telling you to take your shoes off.
Talk about a walk of shame. That Sunday morning when you go into McCarran,
right,
and it's just this teeming mass of angry people who've lost their money. They're all hungover.
Right.
And then you got to get in the tram and you got to go over here. It's the worst.
Civility is completely out the window.
Oh, civility is totally. What about, wait, can we end with that one video that's gone viral? Because that kind of encapsulates. Do you have it?
They're having a fight on the plane.
More. Huh?
Oh, the guy getting duct taped up. I'll pull it up.
Okay, so this, I think, probably shows you, I mean, there are so many levels to this.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, of course you've seen it. I'd like to end our discussion today by watching it, and then I just want your reaction, because I thought of you when I saw this.
Well, I have said that along with the reinforced cockpit door, they need to put a reinforced bathroom door, and because they need a drunk tank to put people. I mean, we're getting to the place where, you know, duct taping someone to a seat is fine, but it's no long-term solution for insane people flying out of their mind. You know what I mean? So we're really going to need somewhere to put them. Like,
how about it, like a little hooskow on the jet?
Well, look, they have one at the Philadelphia Eagles Stadium, famously. They have a little jail in there. They probably didn't build it, you know, in 1955 with a jail in it, but our society's coming unraveled.
I think even Disneyland's got a jail. I think there's a Disneyland jail.
Right. When they build, there at least has to be a conversation when you're building a plane that holds more than 200 souls. Shall we put the shark cage in the back? Like, do we need a place to put people?
I don't understand, you know, and maybe it's because of my own personal experience. You know, Paulette was a teacher in the L.A. Unified School District. I don't know if you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then was either suspended or terminated because there was some kid who wouldn't stay in his chair. So she tied a string to his either to his waist or his arm and then tied it to the chair. And
wow.
And they complained. And then that was the end of her teaching career.
Wow.
And it reminds me, I thought of that immediately when I saw this.
All right, we'll see if we can find that tape. If you need a second, I'll do my last spot. Geico, do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and then you, there's your automotive policy. How about you get your bundle working? It's easy. With Geico, you take your automotive policy and bundle it up with your homeowner's or your renter's insurance. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save when you bundle at geico.com. All right, we got the clip. The guy's 22, screaming at everyone to fuck off. Not the proper...
I worked for the fucking 2 million goddamn gallons. And you know what? You fucking suck. Yeah. You know what? My grandpa is a fucking like, fucking attorney. Shut the fuck up.
Hey.
Nope.
Chill. Chill out.
Duct tape him to a chair. Oh my god.
They duct taped his mouth. I hadn't noticed that before.
Can I, you're going to enjoy this if you'd like to smile on the way out. In Mark's plane, there's 10 chairs and a, I don't know, a love seat, essentially.
Right.
But one chair has a fleece or sheep lining to it, and that is Mark's chair.
Which I have bequeathed to Adam when I'm not there.
Right. But a couple things. I showed up, and on the way in, I think Mike was sitting in it because he got on the plane before me, and I quickly booted him out.
Very good. That's Mark's chair.
I sit in Mark's chair. And then when we're getting on the plane out of Vegas 2 days later, he was walking past your chair, and I said, Mike, sit in Mark's chair. And he said, why? And I said, because I want to boot you out of his chair. And so Mike dutifully sat in your chair, and then I yelled, Mike, what do you get out? It's my chair. That's a true story.
I love it.
All right. I'm on the road all over the place, man. Minneapolis and coming up Royal Oak, Michigan, Kansas City, Chicago, Baltimore, Pennsylvania, Glen Oaks, outside of Philly. I mean, just go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Adam Carolla, if you want to see some free stand-up there. What do you got, Mark?
I've got Capri this weekend in the Hamptons. Come up there. V Palm Springs. Come out to the V. Or Casa Tropicana in San Clemente. Tenney Mediterranean Tapas downtown. Engine Company downtown LA, LAX. Or the Provas in Grand Central Terminal or at Times Square in the Moxie Hotel.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garriga. Say it! Mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Carolla Digital.
Well, do you own, do you rent your home? Probably do one or the other. And then you got your automotive policy. How about you bundle them up at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing because you got so much to do already. So go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save when you get your bundle on with Geico. That is geico.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.